Hello and welcome to Tools in the Shed, a podcast powered by Cars Guide. We're ready to rip into car stuff that has caught our attention this week.
Yes.
I'm James, with me are Matt.
G'day.
He's been thinking about the recent evolution of this country's most popular car brand.
Yeah.
As well as Richard, who's cast a critical eye over the ride-sharing arms race that's probably brewing globally. And we'll check in with that bloke that needs to log off and put his phone down in Musquatch.
Yeah.
So stay with us. First of all, we've had some terrific feedback, and I thought we should call it out. TQM, who had all the love flowing last week for Richard and Mel, he reckons we're the best, so thank you, TQM. That's fantastic.
He or she?
No hearts this time. Don't know. Anyway, thank you, TQM.
Doesn't matter.
Bonnie Babu is looking forward to the comparisons we've got in the pipeline. Bonnie Babu is looking forward to the comparisons.
There's plenty more coming.
Yep. Twiggler has an itchy urus, and Blake Swan.
What?
Yeah, he has an itchy urus. And Blake Swan reckons the Lambo SUV is so ugly that cast-off Civic Type R designers must have been responsible for its looks.
Wow.
So that's an interesting insight. Peter Gaskin made the point that in his experience, some dealers are dragging the chain on the Takata airbag recall we discussed last week. He says, look, he alleges that for newer cars, dealers have been known to refuse replacement. And then Alex V chipped in with a nil spares experience when booking in his 2008 Merc Sprinter, adding he'll be waiting for, quote, some time. Before those parts are available.
Yeah, it's not a surprise, really. I mean, they've got to deal with this on a global level. There's probably hundreds of millions of cars affected. They've got to get airbags to everyone, and not really surprising that there are some shortfalls in terms of supply. But
it's an interesting other side of the coin perspective.
And so what happens? Whose fault is it then if you can't get your work vehicle registered because it doesn't have the airbag fixed?
Yep. It opens up a small, maybe large can of worms.
Yeah.
Adding a bit more pressure to that as well is that we've got, I think, five or six or seven insurers who have come out and said they will refuse to insure you if something happens in the risk of death or injury if you haven't done enough to get it fixed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Look, and a YouTube podcast viewer, Ahil Karandikar, had a crack at our bad resolution from last week's podcast. Which we've gone to great lengths to try and improve this week. So hopefully that's a tick. And we appreciate Animic's 5-star review on iTunes. He reckons we're funny and informative. I can't work that out. But that's terrific. Thanks to everyone. And please keep it coming. We just want to know what you make of what we're talking about, or us in general, anything you want to have a say on.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, we're about to blow a gasket. In our blowing a gasket, Richard is going to just blow the hell out of this gasket. Come on, Richard, get it off your chest.
I am so angry right now. Like, unbelievably angry. And you know, when I go angry, I go
your
Kiwi.
Your voice goes high-pitched and Kiwi.
I turn into a New Zealander. I'm angry because of a limited edition model that's just come out.
Oh.
The Hyundai Kona Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look. Nothing against Hyundai, nothing against Iron Man, the movie franchise.
So Guy Leach or, you know...
Yeah, no, it's not...
Trevor Hendy.
No, look, if it was a Surf Life Saving Hyundai Kona, that'd be fantastic. Proceeds go to, Australian Surf Life Saving
One half of
Club.
The car's yellow, the other half's red.
Right. You got to stay within the flags.
Flags.
Yeah, that's right. There's a flag on each bonnet. Flag on each side of the bonnet.
Two bonnets? Does the Kona have two bonnets?
No, just one bonnet, but two flags. And you've got to keep the car within those.
A flag on each bonnet.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It's a movie tie-in franchise with Marvel movie Iron Man, which I saw recently, and I think it's a fantastic movie.
It's good, There's three of them now, isn't
there? Yeah, I know. I watched all three pretty much in one night. fantastic. But what's not fantastic is a tie-in to Hyundai Kona. For starters, right, I think all limited edition, special edition cars suck.
Oh.
Big time, right? Wow. And I'm talking about the Hello Kitty Mirage. I'm talking about the Volkswagen Beetle Fender. I'm talking about the Beats by Dre Polo. All of those tie-ins. Those are great cars. The Kona, great car. Polo, fantastic car. Beetle, pretty good. but the tie-in thing, look, seriously, I think that would affect the resale of the thing. I think it's just...
I hate the novelty of it.
Yeah. Well, the Kona, as we were discussing yesterday, is signed by a person that doesn't exist.
Yes. Yeah.
It's signed by a made-up guy.
Tony Stark. So yeah. Tony Stark's autograph is on the dashboard. He doesn't exist. It's a movie.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Is it an autograph if the person doesn't exist?
Yeah. If someone signs
on a deeper
and they
level.
Don't exist, who is it really a signature?
Yeah.
So this is what you get. With the Hyundai Kona Iron Man, you get an Iron Man key fob. So it's like just looks like a regular, Kona, key, but it's got Iron Man's head on it. Iron Man's head is also on the wheels.
Right.
You've got the Tony Stark autograph on the dashboard. You've got puddle lights, Iron Man puddle lights, which come down out of the doors. Come on. It's
so they're just hold, the wheels. So are they like a moon disc wheel just with Iron Man's face
no,
on?
No, actually the wheels look quite good. They're like a limited edition wheel you can get.
And
they've got the cars only come in the frosted grey. And they get a red roof and that Iron Man red is sort of plated everywhere and including on the wheels as well. But there's Iron Man heads on the wheels too. I don't know. Let us know what you think. Would you drive an Iron Man Kona?
We were thinking you should drive it dressed as Captain America.
You think it'd be more appropriate if it was a supercar because, as we know, Iron Man in the movies drives supercars.
Yeah, R8.
Exactly.
Audi R8.
An Audi R8 would be pretty mad as an Iron Man car.
He's got a Saline. He's got a 32 Ford Roadster. He's got a Cobra. He's got all these amazing... He's got a Tesla Roadster in his garage.
Yeah.
Right? He's got all these really cool cars. He probably might not have... A Hyundai Kona.
Look, listeners of a certain age will remember the Ford LTD Cartier edition.
Oh.
That was pretty special. And the laser Carla Zampatti.
Yeah, I remember the Zampatti.
Which was a pretty special. She was, quite a lady. I know she had special relations, allegedly, with Billy Snedden, former Liberal Party. And he checked out of the hotel that they are in. Permanently, as it were, during their relationship. But what about the Nissan Pulsar Reebok?
Oh, I love the Reebok.
The Reebok.
Do you know it's parked out the back of our house in the train car park?
A Nissan Pulsar Reebok.
No. A Hey, It's Saturday, right? looks like a Nissan Pulsar. Hey, It's Saturday, Nissan Pulsar at the back of our house in the train car park.
A special edition It's Saturday
that
Pulsar.
That means it was won by someone. Because on Hey, could people were asked to come on. They'd won the funniest home video competition they used to run it or whatever. And they had an opportunity to win this Hey Pulsar. And the Hey Pulsar is parked in, it's been there for quite some time.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's being driven because it moves from spot to spot.
Now, so, if you're from somewhere else in the world other than Australia, Hey, It's Saturday was a really bad segment show that was on for too many years.
Kids program that became an adult evening.
That's right.
Yeah. With a puppet and things.
Still, I love red faces.
All right. Well, look, in Europe, limited editions are just a way of keeping a model bubbling along.
Yeah.
Here, they're a massive sign of distress.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of cars on grass. We've got to shift them. Put some stickers on or whatever. This Iron Man seems like some kind of commercial arrangement.
It's a special edition.
It's a
special, special edition.
Whereas your Toyota Tarago Getaway.
Yeah, the sticker pack.
It's a sticker pack.
That was a beautiful sticker pack.
The Commodore Vacationer.
Vacationer. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, tell us what you think. As Richard says, let us know your thoughts. Do you own one? All you Reebok Pulsar owners out there, get in touch.
We'd love to
see how the car's going and how the value has been escalating over the decades.
Yeah.
You're sitting on it's your superannuation, really. It's your super, you know. Once you've got a Reebok,
it's the super of the future.
So, Richard, we're all familiar with Uber as a disruptor, and it's been causing headaches for the taxi industry and what have you. And now it seems like there are others trying to cut their grass.
Yeah. Look, What's happened is we've got, and this is not the first time we've seen this either, we've got BMW and Mercedes-Benz who obviously want a slice of the rideshare action. And this week they've formed a joint venture, well, actually five joint ventures. And their plan is to produce a ride-sharing network using their cars, a combination of i3s and electric Mercedes-Benzes, to sort of try and steal a bit of that market away from Uber. Now, my thoughts on this are obviously someone at Mercedes-Benz has gone, bloody hell, like, there's so much money to be made here. We want a slice of the action. But in my view, I just don't think that it's going to work quite as well as Uber. I mean, in all fairness, they operate already in Europe, and you can see the vision around us. You've got Mercedes-Benz with their brand of, which is Car2Go, which is their ride-sharing thing, and you've got BMW who have got Drive Now, Share Now, and Charge Now, which is like a whole network of like, you know, rechargeable ride-sharing cars. And to their credit, they've got already got millions of users in Europe. I just don't think that, I think they're a little bit late to the party in the same way that, and they're not the only ones, Ford, also getting in on the mobility, you know, bandwagon as well. When I recently went to a Nissan conference, Nissan are all over it too. So look, if you are a car maker, it's very easy to see how you can probably think you can get into this.
Yeah.
I just don't think, I think car makers make cars and I see how they want to try and get into the mobility thing, but I think Uber's got a massive head start and I don't think they're going to catch
it. The irony being, though, is Uber making any money? You know, there might be aiming to kind of take away Uber's business, but I think it's questionable as to whether or not the Uber model is paying off at this point.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either, but I think that, you know, there are different approaches clearly to this problem, if it's a problem at all. You look at what Holden's doing, or GM in general, with the Maven program, where they'll lease cars to people, so they've got a new car to drive around in. The hope being that if you're exposed to that new car, you might go, oh, I like this car, I might get one. And I don't know whether that's actual conversion rate is working or not, but there's definitely different approaches. But I think when it comes to, you know, 10, 15 years down the track, we might see these sorts of programs come to their own, because they'd be fully autonomous cars. If you believe the hype, you won't have a driver, so there won't be an Uber person that is an extra overhead, an extra risk. You'll have, you know, cars that essentially it will be impossible for them to crash if we believe everything that's told to us.
Well, it's like the rental car thing. Like, I know that a lot of car companies like having their cars as rental cars, and I've got to say that, you know, before I was a motoring journalist, I'd hire a rental car and I'd be like, oh, this is all right. Maybe we should get one of these. And it works.
Oh, I did that in so many Hyundai Getzes.
I love the Getz.
But I suppose it's also a bit of the Amazon phenomenon, isn't it? We've just got to be there.
Yeah.
So when the landscape is so terribly confused, if you've got pockets that are deep enough, well, we've just got to get a bit of this action in case it comes to pass. Mm. So it's almost like insurance of the future.
Yeah.
But you can't predict it, but we've just got to be into everything that moves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, as car sales, you know, eventually start to dip away and people do share more, you know, if that's another thing that happens. And, you know, we see the younger generation these days aren't as interested in licenses and owning a car. It's not a thing, you know. There's public transport that works in a lot of cities around the world, maybe some better than others, but
well, that's it. Like, are they seeing the future? Are they seeing eventually private car sales becoming almost a boutique niche thing? Like, you only have a private car if you're an enthusiast, and they're thinking, oh my god, we need to be ride sharers, otherwise they're not going to be able to exist anymore.
I mean, it is so unpredictable in terms of what the legislative field will look like, and that will vary by country, by parts of countries. So you'll have to be ready for anything almost, and this is just one part of that.
And that goes back to even electrification of cars and where that is going. There's so much that's going to change in the next 15 years or so in terms of the way we interact with cars and whether we buy them or not.
Yep.
Like, well, I hope people still buy them, because if they don't buy them, then we won't be able to do reviews of them, and then where will we be?
How do you do a review of an autonomous car anyway? That, you know, that's perfect. I mean, you could sit there going, well, it hasn't crashed yet.
There are journalists from other countries in the world that will attend launches and not drive the car, because that's not what you do in those countries if you're buying that car.
Right.
Yeah.
You're
right.
A passenger in the car.
Yeah. You're a rear seat passenger in the car. I've seen it happen.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, unless the chauffeurs buy the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just thinking ahead.
Possibly.
Well, that's... anyway. All right. Well, moving on. M4.
Yeah.
We've alluded to this. You've been looking at the evolution, the change in focus in certain parts of its activities for the best-selling car brand in the country. Tell us all about it. Where's it going?
It's Toyota. If you didn't know, Toyota has been the best-selling brand here for 20 years or thereabouts. And this, they're changing. It's good for everyone. They're making cars that are ever better, according to the chief, Akio Toyota. And this now has evolved to the point where we're seeing a sporty arm of the brand, which is Gazoo Racing, or GR. Mm. Now, the thing that got us thinking about this yesterday was we've seen the reveal of the GR Sport Corolla hatch. And what that is essentially a styling pack with some minor suspension changes, basically to make it a little bit more zesty. And you could think of it, it's almost like a Ford Focus ST line. So if you've got that level, then, you know, Ford Focus has the ST, which has got performance, engine, transmission, a bunch of other changes. And then there's above that, there's the Ford Focus RS.
Mm.
And according to Toyota, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So they're thinking, well, we'll do GR Sport as the entry level, and then you'll go to a GR above that, which will be essentially, you know, an engine and suspension and sportiness.
Yep.
And then a GR MN, which we've seen in the Yaris. They did a special Yaris. I think they only built a few hundred of them. It was a supercharged 1.8 litre. And it was
in the Yaris.
From all accounts, it was an absolute weapon.
Which would be to ride on the back of their WRC participation.
Yeah, yeah.
Where and the it was Yaris a Europe, is the weapon of choice.
Yeah, it was a Europe special, manual only, all that sort of gear. So really interesting to see what's happening out there.
Yeah.
And it's not just confined to passenger cars. We've seen last year there was the GR Sport version of the Hilux. And I spoke with Toyota's product guys yesterday, and they basically said, oh, geez, we'd love something that had an engine as well as some looks.
And of course, the MN stands for Masters of Nürburgring.
Yeah.
So it's Gazoo Racing Masters of Nürburgring,
yeah,
which is weird in itself.
Yeah.
It is. But it's also, you know, Akio Toyota's influence seems to have filtered down over quite a long period of time. I mean, he's been at the top of Toyota for a fair period now.
Yep.
And when you think about cars like the FJ Cruiser,
yep,
even the Ruckus, which wasn't a big hit here, but it was definitely left field for Toyota at the time.
Yep.
And then you kick through to the 86. You know, it's co-production with Subaru, of course, but that was a breakthrough for Toyota.
Yeah.
Now you've got the Supra. Now you've got, you know, you had cars in the Lexus area like the LFA, you know, a V10. Supercar, the brands are changing through the halo created by some of those models.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that the Supra is the one that everyone's talking about right now, because and they've even referred to it as the GR Supra.
Yeah,
which makes you think, well, there's going to be
an MN,
above that, right?
There's going to be a Nürburgring Master.
Yeah,
there'd be one.
So the kind of white goods on wheels moves through to something a little more interesting. Toyota hasn't been there for a long time. We're talking about Corolla particularly. It was when they had their twin cam 16 valve, you know, is
the 100 kilowatt,
1.6 litre.
Yeah.
But that was a hot kind of a hatch.
Yeah, and it's been a while between drinks for Toyota and hot hatches. So.
Do you think this has been the catalyst for this has been watching Hyundai come up with its N division and you know, even the Cerato coming out with its sort of, you know, sportier variants as well?
I would say that Toyota doesn't do things that are risky.
Yeah.
It would have been thinking about this and plotting this for probably a decade.
That's
you
right.
Know? That's the way that they operate. They would have thought, well, you know, what do we need? Well, we're going to do an 86. We'll do a Supra. Hmm. We'll probably need to have a brand that we can back all these with. We've got Gazoo. Gazoo's a good name, like, but they're not calling it Gazoo. Like,
no. This is it.
Gazoo is such a Japanese amazing sort of name that it could really resonate.
But I think you mentioned, didn't you, Matt, that the Gazoo racing thing is going to be flexible in the sense that particular markets may take it up wholeheartedly, others may pick and choose.
Yep.
You've got the situation in America where Toyota in the US has invested massively in establishing TRD as a performance brand. I mean, it's on their NASCAR, it's on the products they sell.
Yep.
So that gives them a leave pass to do what they need to do with TRD.
Yeah, and it's interesting that TRD is really heavily used on the pickup trucks and off-roaders over there. That's one of their things, you know. Toyota Racing Development, we're like, okay.
Yeah.
But and we've had TRD Hiluxes in the past, but, you know, I think it's so interesting to see Toyota is embracing this idea. And, I mean, there's still no hard, firm, really important news for Australia in terms of a Corolla hot hatch, but, you know, they've basically told us that if they build one that's got a better engine, we're doing it. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, the hands are up. Everyone's keen for it, but not so much this GR Sport. They've said if there's demand for it, then maybe, but I don't know. I think that the more Corolla hatchbacks you can have in the showroom, the better for everyone because people will buy them no matter what it's like.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, I think there are really good things to come from this, you know, sports division line. I think Nissan probably should be taking note.
Nissan's got other problems, but...
Well, they do. I spoke to the head of Nissan's Oceania sort of like wing a couple of years ago, and I said, so what's happening? Are we going to see a new 370Z or a more affordable, smaller sports car to go head-to-head with an 86 or a Supra sort of, like, you know, competitor? And he looked me dead in the eye and he said he admitted that the lineup wasn't where it needed to be, and he said it takes 10 years, right, just to develop a new lineup of cars.
Sure.
So he was aware of it, and they're fixing it, but it doesn't happen overnight.
Big ship takes a long time to turn
around.
Yeah. Now, talking of driving cars, in our garage this week, we've had a few, as usual, and Richard, you've been behind the wheel of a Merc, but not a normal one.
No, it's a C63S, the sedan. Four-door.
I didn't get a drive. I'm upset.
After getting out of the... Got straight out of a Lamborghini Urus into a Suzuki Jimny and then into a C63S. And like you probably couldn't get three more different cars
If you took a sprinkle of C63 and a dash of Jimny, you end up with
Urus.
Urus
and you got the Jimny and put them in a room together, maybe they'd make a C63.
9 months later, you might get a C63.
Look, I was told going into it, you know, the editor, our esteemed editor, Mal Flynn, that he reckoned that the suspension had become a lot more softer and a lot more comfortable. Still, although this car is incredible, like we're talking 700 newton meters, 375 kilowatts, 0 to 100 in 4 seconds, it's just a really, really firm ride.
Yeah,
and even in the comfort setting. Just drive, like, especially in the streets that I live in Sydney's inner west, where they're half concrete, half, you know, dirt, rubble.
And 3/4 pothole.
Yeah, 3/4 pothole. It's been a really difficult car to sort of like comfortably drive.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been the acceleration is great, the sound's been awesome, and you can toggle the sound so it's just sound and a comfort setting in the suspension. But even in the most comfortable suspension, it's still rock hard. I would get the C43, actually, because I drove that at the launch, and I found that actually a lot more...
C43 is such a lovely car.
It's a beautiful car.
It's the perfect midpoint.
It's underrated.
I'd get that.
And I think as we discussed C43 before, the point about it is that it's not someone who's aspiring to a C63 and decides to choose the next level down. It is a really terrific car in its own right.
Absolutely.
And it has a lot of attributes that stand it apart.
And I know that there'd be people out there who would go, ugh, C43, as if you would... You're wrong.
Yeah,
it's
brilliant.
It's so great. Good.
It's a lovely car.
Very, very good. It's a Goldilocks zone, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon so too.
And M4, you've been driving a direct C63 competitor. So we've had a lot of exotic machinery in the garage this week.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Kia Picanto X-Line.
Yes.
So if you're not aware what the X-Line is, it was brought in as an Australian Open Special Edition, but it's going to be a permanent member of the Picanto family. It's essentially... crossover styling or SUV-ish styling on the Picanto, which is absolutely killing it in the micro car segment. It's only got a 1.25-litre engine with a 4-speed automatic transmission. But, you know, I think people get a bit annoyed at 4-speed autos, but sometimes when you don't have that much power and torque, four gears is all you need.
Is enough.
Yep.
And this is... case in point for this car. In the Rio that sits above it, not so much, but this car, it's lighter, it's nimble, it's really small, so easy to park, and I loved it.
That is, as in the Rio above it also has a 4-speed auto,
yes,
but doesn't cut the mustard there.
No, exactly. Yep. And so this X-Line, I think it's about 17 grand drive away. It's so
really good.
There's no, I mean, that's the exact reason why they're selling so many Picantos, because it looks good. It's got AEB. It's got
it's
all the safety stuff you'd expect, even though it does suffer a 4-star ANCAP safety rating. And as we will see with Nadal Stelio's family review coming up soon, she wasn't that comfortable putting her kids in the back. I think that's just a perception thing.
Size of the car, overall size of the car, yeah.
But yeah, I mean... Yeah. In any fight, the smaller guy's going to lose. But
Well, look.
Just don't crash.
Well, look, you know, and as well, 5-star cars today, you know, in 20 years' time will be 2-star cars. So look at it that way. Actually, the 2019 Kia Picanto is probably safer than, you know, a year 2000 model high-end car in a lot of ways. So.
Yeah. with advances in technology and welding and all this stuff.
Yep. Mm.
So Picanto X-Line, I want one.
Yep.
Kind of.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're
cool. Well, I've been having a steer of the Corolla SX hybrid.
Oh, yeah.
So unfortunately, the one we've had, in my opinion, it's a shame because it's in this funereal shade of black.
Oof.
And that tends to mask a lot of the really nice details in that new Corolla's design.
Yeah.
There are, you know, angles, curves, cutouts and things that disappear into the car's black Duco. But the drivetrain is a modified version of the current Prius's drivetrain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done the ice breaking up until now. Over 20 years in Australia, the Prius has been around.
Yep.
But of course, hybrid now has become much more mainstream
to the
point where you have it. It was in last gen Corolla, it's in this generation Corolla. And you give away a little bit in terms of outright horsepower and torque, but the petrol engine and the electric motor combine to still provide pretty snappy acceleration. It's natural habitat is the city, and it does well there. So it's about 30% down on power, 30% better on fuel economy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you win and lose, but it's still every bit as comfortable as the other Corollas. The ride is magical. It's like, it rides like a limo. I don't know how they've done it. It's fabulous.
That new generation of Toyota models with their new global architecture, as it's called.
Yep.
I drove a Camry recently, and I was like, this is a Lexus. This has got a better ride than a Lexus.
It's extraordinary.
Toyota's getting too good. Yeah. Lexus.
Lexus is under pressure.
Look out, Lexus.
Lexus needs some headroom to move somewhere. But also, there are some compromises that are with all Corollas.
Yeah.
The door aperture for the rear is really quite small. It's hard to fold yourself up and get in.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're in, it's sort of okay.
Yeah.
But there's that. And also, luggage space is limited.
Mm.
The boot is really quite small.
Yeah, you have to get the top spec hybrid to get the biggest boot because it's got a space saver where the rest have got a full size and that eats into the space. And it's kind of weird that they've done that. I would have gone with just a space saver across the range, but Toyota, you know, they've got to appeal to a very, very, very broad market across Australia. And there are a lot of people out there who want a full size spare wheel.
I like the full size wheel. I think it's a really, really, I think it's almost a safety sort of thing. But in terms of the boot space, like, could you fit a pram in the boot of a Corolla?
In the top spec one, it's easy.
Yeah.
In the rest of the range, not so much.
See, that it's a family car in a lot of ways.
Well, this is the thing. I think
to be big.
It's Toyota, Mazda. They're all sort of thinking the same way. They're going, well, if you're going to buy a hatchback that's small, it's only $5,000 more for a midsize SUV.
Are they pushing people into SUVs?
Never.
Oh, my God.
All right. Speaking of people that are pushing people into things, it's time for Muskwatch. Okay, so there's been movement overnight. We record this podcast on a Friday, but last week you remember there was a bit of a stuff up on Twitter from Elon where he said Tesla would make 500,000 cars this year.
Mm-hmm.
But about 4 hours later, and as it transpires in consultation with his legal team, because they lit up as soon as they saw that, he issued another tweet correcting it, saying that the annualized rate by the end of the year would be 500,000. Anyway, the other people that were interested by that were the SEC because last year, as you'll remember, Elon was in trouble for sending a tweet that said taking the company private, funding secured, blah, blah, blah. They wrapped him over the knuckles with that, a lazy $20 million fine. It went on. But part of the settlement was you will have all of your tweets, all your social media communication vetted, and particularly anything that might affect the share price of the company.
Yep.
Now, clearly, this tweet was not vetted.
Yeah.
So they've laid charges for contempt, which might mean if he's convicted on those charges that he can't be the CEO of that company or any other company for a period of time. That's one potential outcome.
Wow.
So this Twitter addiction is tripping him up. It has tripped him up again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what transpires. But also, the news overnight is that it's D-Day for the share price.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he has to get to a $360 share price or else he's going to be paying out a lot of the company's cash to shareholders because a lot of it's bonds and they convert at a price of $360. So we theorised last week that there was possibly going to be some new model news in the air. Wait, stand by, wait for it. And sure enough, 2 p.m. California time, which was 9 a.m. Friday our time, the noise was about a Model 3 that is finally at the price point that was first put out there, $35,000. Yep. There is now one. There are no extraneous savings on fuel or any of that other stuff folded into it. It's here's your car for $35,000.
Because that was ridiculous what he said in terms of like, but it's more expensive, but look what you're saving in fuel. That actually brings the price down to be No, you can't factor that.
That's just like, that's like saying, well, if you don't buy a car, you'll save $35,000.
That's right. Yeah.
That's so dumb.
You save 100%.
It's really dumb. But as you were mentioning, the share price, the most recent share price that I can find right now is $319.88.
So call it $320. He's about $40 off.
So does that mean bad news?
I think so. Anything less than $360 means that the difference, as I understand it, I'm no financial whiz, but the difference will have to be paid out to people that have those bonds that are converting at that price.
Wow. If you are a financial whiz, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yep.
We'd love to hear how much trouble they're in.
Exactly.
If they are in trouble.
So there was that. But also there was talk about, will he need to pump up the whole Model Y thing? Will there be a pickup? There's still that to come. But today's news was about a $35,000 Model 3. And on the subject of Model 3, the Bloomberg Model 3 production tracker, 5857, up 268 on last week. That's so that trajectory of production, it's now heading towards that 6,000.
Which he promised in...
about this time last year.
Okay.
You know, something like that. So
it is good that they're finally building as many cars as they should be building. Yeah. Well, probably not as many cars as they should be building.
Yeah.
It's the building, but it's also the over-promising. Yeah. You know, it's the over-promise and the under-deliver. Now there's some delivery, but that time lag has been so frustrating.
I mean, it's very much outside the traditional way of car brand doing its business, isn't it? Like, you sort of, you know what you're going to get from most brands.
Yeah.
And not with Tesla. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. And look, like, it's one of those things. We're watching the major brands fail in some ways that have been doing the same thing the same way forever. Mm-hmm. So look, maybe it does need a review, a shake up. Maybe not this much of a shake up, but I don't know. Like he's giving it a go in some ways, and I think he's making some successes.
Yeah.
So you're an Elon devotee this week?
No, I'm not.
It does wax and wane.
I'm an Elon fence sitter, right? And I really am on the fence this week. I'm positive, but also like, I want to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. I think he's pretty crazy.
Well, no matter
I think he's unpredictable is the least thing you can
say. I think we say it more often than we don't say it. They are disrupting the industry.
Yeah, that's true.
And it needed disruption.
That much is true. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. With that, I think we have reached the finish line. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Thanks to our producer, Mr. Pritchard. To have your say on the show, search for Cars Guide on Facebook and Instagram and use the hashtag CGPodcast or email us at comments@carsguide.com.au. We'd love to hear from you. You can listen to and watch us on YouTube. And if you're enjoying Tools in the Shed, please pay it forward and recommend us to family and friends, or rate and review us on iTunes. That'd be terrific. Until next week, you might need a new car if while you're waiting at a red light, people run up and ask if anyone was hurt.